Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned into the SSBN Network, home of the hottest hosts in online radio. And for the next 4 hour, you're about to keep it real hot and fresh. So get ready.
What's up, everybody? It's time for another edition of Keeping It Real Hot and Freaky Fresh with your host, Z-Fly, in the place. And tonight, it is Monday, April the something. I don't know what time it is. Anyway, it's April the 11th or something like that, you know. But the point is, you know, everybody, we have a great show tonight. I'm really happy to be here, and I'm just having a great day. I'm having a great time. Oh, yeah, so, and also, too, I'm going to need for my crew to let me know if y'all can hear me. But anyway, but speaking of my crew, let me introduce them all. I got the rest of the RHF crew. How you do, crew?
Hey.
Dad. What's up, everybody? What's up? Okay, so everybody, now, real quick, we got a good show going on, so we're going to get right to it. We ain't got no time to waste, okay? But to start things off, you know, this is the SSBN Network. We're straight out of Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill. However, we are all in New York City. I actually know, but we do have special guest hosts during the trial period who is representing Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, and that Shawana Know is back for a second time. What's going on, girl?
Hey, how you doing, Z-Fly?
I'm doing good, Shawana Know. Now, Shawana, now, real quick, for those listeners who did not listen last time, who may not know who you are, give them a real quick bio about you, right quick, what you got.
Hi, I'm Shawana Know. I'm originally from Queens, New York, but I live in Raleigh, North Cackalack, and last week I was a guest host. And also, I would like to let everybody know for my listeners out there, if you want to know something about me or want to know or get some advice, ask your girl Shawana Know, and she'll tell you what you need to know.
Okay, that's what's up. And, of course, everybody, you know you got your boy Rizzy Riz. Keep it real. What's up, Riz?
What's good, Z-Fly? How you doing this week?
You know, I'm always chilling. Always chilling, just keeping it real. You know, that's me all day, every day. Just like BK. And, of course, missing in action last week, we got a girl back, Miss Jewels. What's up, girl? Oh, okay.
Oh, no Jewels.
Wow. Okay, still missing in action. Still missing in action. But I think we do got Miss Jewels. She's somewhere around here. We're going to find her. But everybody, we do got a great show. You know what I'm saying? We do got a great show. But what's going to happen is, we're going to go ahead and take care of some things. We're going to pay some bills. But before we pay the bills, we're going to let you know what's going on. Now, tonight, we are going to bring you really hot topics. Now, I know how y'all love the really hot topics, but some of y'all don't like the really hot topics. Well, I'll talk about that a little bit later. But tonight in really hot topics, we're going to be talking about, you know, people getting booted off of Dancing with the Stars. We're going to talk a little bit about Hugh Hefner. Rizzy Riz got some things to tell you about the hip-hop world. You know what I'm saying? We're going to tell you about our weekend, and also we're going to be telling you about a drunk baby. Yeah, that's all coming up in really hot topics. And also, later in the show, we have a very special interview for you tonight from one of the artistic directors of the New Dance Alliance. They are actually presenting their 25th anniversary performance, Myth Festival, for 2011, and that's going to be here in New York City and also other places. But, you know, we're going to tell you all about that later on in the show, so you just got to stick around if you want to know what's going down. But right now, we got to pay some bills so that we can stay around, you know what I'm saying? So, DJ, hit us off with a commercial, and we will be keeping it real hot and fresh in one
minute. You made a New Year's resolution to lose weight. But with so much temptation such as cheeseburgers, fried chicken, and even soda, it's hard to stay on track. So why not give health food a try and let herbalist Freddie Atkinson set you on the right path to a healthy lifestyle. Owner of Adarian Health Foods in Wilson, North Carolina, Freddie focuses on scheduling his customers with healthy, natural diets that are easy to follow. How your body looks on the inside is just as important on how it looks on the outside. So come give health a chance. Come give God a chance. There's life in the name. For more information, call 252-291-5727 or log on to www.projectgreenlife.com/nearmanna, which is spelled NEARMANNA. Do you think you're purely poetic? If so, be sure to check out the Open Mic Night every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, hosted by my cousin. This show allows you to read poetry, lyrics, or just express yourself how you may feel. And the bonus is you may just win a prize. So log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/purely-poetic and be ready to rock the mic.
Push up, y'all. That's what's up. That's how you pay the bills. All right, so tonight we have some really rich topics for you. And one thing that's going on, guys, oh my God, you know, first of all, do y'all watch Dancing with the Stars?
Actually, no, yeah. Not really.
No. Well, the only reason I was watching this season was because my girl Wendy Williams was up there. You know what I'm saying? But however, Wendy Williams, she couldn't even. All right. She couldn't even last through the middle of the show. She couldn't even last through. Everybody, Wendy Williams, she got booted off last week. Now, unfortunately, I did not see it. But she's not out here tonight because, you know what I'm saying, I was going to tune in tonight to see what she's going to do. But she's not out there. She got booted off last weekend. So, yeah, Wendy Williams is gone. Yeah, but you know, I mean, even though I love Wendy, you know I love you, but she was really still. She could not dance.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, she got that white girl side in her. Everybody don't have that strong sister in them.
You ain't got no sense.
Saying some people got to take dance lessons. Oprah, hello.
Ooh, we're not going to talk about Oprah. We're not going to do that.
Yes, we will.
Snap.
Everybody, also we're talking about Hugh Hefner tonight. Now, the reason why we're talking about him is it's been brought up, you know, just thinking about him, how old he is, and then how he just has, you know, he's like this billionaire, basically. But look how he's got rich. He's got rich off of degrading women. And the sad thing about it is he has, like, these, you know what I'm saying, like, he'll always have, like, these young girlfriends or whatever. He has, like, more than one at a time. But it's really sad and disgusting. He's like an old pervert. You know what I'm saying? They have, like, this table house or whatever.
Yeah, I'm serious. I'm down for one of them little bunnies getting a heart attack in the action. He going to get some good loving one night. He ain't going to come back.
I was saying the same thing.
Viagra does not last all the time, Hugh. Okay.
Exactly.
They must don't care. They must ain't heard about worms. I just can't be with no old man like that. I'm sorry. If I had to do it, I'm sorry. I would have to do me at what you call it, Smith. Because I'm trying to tell you, I mean, you put it on him, let him die, and get all his money. And Nicole, I give you your props. Rest in peace. She did it right. She said, if I got to get down like this, I'm going to get paid. And she did.
Okay. Wow.
You're crazy. I think it's disgusting. I think it's sad how those girls are great and stuff. But you know, I got into a debate with somebody because they were saying, if you was down and poor and you needed whatever, you never know what you would do. You know what I'm saying? But however, I mean, Jules.
I don't think so.
Wow.
You know what? You know what? You can be down and out, poor, and still have, you know, a thing about yourself where you will not do it. I mean, like, I was watching Wendy Williams today, and she was talking about, she actually had Toni Braxton on the show, right? And
yeah.
She was talking about how Playboy had propositioned Toni Braxton to pose for Playboy for $100,000.
Yeah.
And she was
yep.
like, don't do it. Don't do it. Just don't do it, because you just shouldn't have to degrade yourself like that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Especially since she's already established, you know? I mean,
no,
like,
yeah,
and then what kind of market does that really, what kind of career does that really give you after that?
You know, with
none.
Tape, right?
Yeah,
that's
really
what
that's
what it gives you.
That would definitely degrade all her music, too. Like, it would kind of, like give her such slander, like, towards being, you know, a classical artist. I don't think that's the right publicity. Maybe, like if she's really that good-looking, even naked, I mean, maybe some lingerie or something like that. But
yeah,
I mean,
but she shouldn't have
I'd love to.
I mean,
be
like,
naked.
You just shouldn't.
Naked,
you shouldn't do
I
that.
Think it's not respectful for her
yeah.
title and stuff like that.
Yeah, and then not only that, but how do you explain that to your kids? You know, and then your kids go to school, you know, and then they're like, hey. That's what she was saying on the show. She was like, hey, I seen your boobies, you know, and that is something to think about. I mean, like, she does have kids. But then again, she has such
yeah.
a long career. I don't think she should do that. You know, and I just don't think it's a smart idea for anybody to do it. I mean, like, it does get you publicity and it does get you attention, but really, what kind of attention are you getting? I mean, even the girl Hope, who was Playmate of the Year on Celebrity Apprentice, she really gets undermined, like, she doesn't have any smarts just because she was Playboy of the Year.
I know. Exactly. You know, because,
well, they say if nobody's hating, then you must have something wrong.
That's true, but it's sad, though, if you guys ever look really into it, like Jamie Foxx, for instance, not the Jamie Foxx singer, not him, but the other Jamie Foxx that played on Family Matters, she did porn because her career was pretty much over after that show, and something happened, I guess, where they cut her early. And she was supporting her family, so that was her way of getting by, which is sad now, because
mm-hmm.
as you notice, like, she has not really did anything, and
mm-hmm.
she's been trying to get her career, you know, back established, but apparently, you know, with her doing porn, it just, I think it really messed her career up.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
definitely. You can't
yeah.
go back into television.
Exactly.
After,
I mean, and then,
after ruining your profile like that. I mean,
and
your
then
portfolio
who takes it seriously?
Is everything.
Like,
well, you know, guys, you know, I don't know if y'all remember this, but you remember, what's the girl? I can't think of her name. Anyway, she was married to Tyson with his ugly-looking self. I can't think of her name to save my life. But anyway, she did a lot of movies when she showed her body. Robin Gibbons.
Uh-huh.
And if
yeah.
you guys noticed that she kind of low-surfaced for a while, and then, you know, kind of Tyler Perry brought her back, and then she started getting back, you know, on a TV sitcom show. But she really hurt herself, I think, in the 90s, because mostly every movie you've seen, she was taking off her clothes. And I think people just got sick of it, because she just had this title to her, like, oh, Robin Givens is a hoe, which she might not have been, but that's pretty much how she was portraying herself in the roles that she played. It was always, oh, she's taking off clothes in this role. Oh, you know what I'm saying? So people get tired of that. Not hating on women, like Jules said, that you don't have to do that. You know, you can choose. They can choose
the
roles that they want to play. Exactly.
You
so
can choose otherwise. I mean, like, you can have in your contract, I mean, like, it will go ahead and limit the roles that you're going to get probably, but you can have a no nudity clause in your contract if you're going to go that route, you know? And I just would not do that. I just would not do that.
And
start a career. It could end a career. Easy.
I really can't knock the girls, though, because, you know, I've met a lot of
that's
girls.
That's
because
you're a man.
Well,
that's because you're a man.
You gotta give me the floor at least. I mean, I know girls that you know have taken part in these types of things, and it's not always, you know, the craziest thing. And they also live normal lives. You know what I'm saying? Everybody
yes,
gets the type of everybody gets the type of impression that, oh, since they're living that type of lifestyle, that when they come
mm-hmm.
home that it's all crazy and this
mm-hmm.
and that. I mean, not all of them are like that, so I got to get at least back them up a little bit that I know that,
okay, but,
you know.
Oh,
okay,
that
but,
I know, because
let me ask you this.
Go somewhere from it.
But Riz, let me ask you this. Okay, so, but what if that was like your sister or your mom who wanted to do something like that? Would you still feel the same way?
Exactly.
No,
what you gotta say now? What you gotta say now?
That was like a sucker punch. You're like, hey, Rizzo.
Yeah, probably sucker punch. No,
actually,
if it was my mom or my sister.
No, if it was like my sister, I wouldn't watch the movies, but I'd definitely hook up with her friends. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I seen your sister's cha-cha and cha-cha, you would be fine with that. That's what
oh,
I'm
no,
saying.
No,
can you imagine? All your boys would be
If my boys, like, popped in a DVD and my sister was on that shit, I'd be beating her ass. Sorry for the words, but, yeah, I would be.
But you know what? But Mike Sorrentino could walk around with no shirt all day, every day. Nobody says that he's a slut.
Huh?
Okay. That's because for men,
Mike Sorrentino walks
different.
Around half naked all day, every day. Nobody says that he's a slut. But for a woman, it can end her career.
Yeah. That's society for you. When it comes to men and women, society thinks totally different.
Men, just like sleeping around.
A man can sleep around with how many ever women he wants to. He's the man. He's the boy. He's the player. Let a woman do the same thing and run the same game on a man. She's a goalie.
She's a slut.
Exactly.
Yeah, but what about the girls that end up, like, because these guys, they'll, like, say it, like, in front of them, like, yeah, I'm like, a slut and shit like that. And they'll say all this stuff. And then the girl end up getting his number and, like, hitting it. They're like, oh, okay. Like,
I don't know what you want to respond to that one because I was going to say, I don't know what males you and me talking about, but I know I have met males from early in their late 30s, and they're the worst hoes in this world. They're worse than the 20-something-year-old man. And they don't come up to you and tell the truth. They're not man enough to say, oh, yeah, I'm a playboy, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a hoe, whatever, whatever. I have XYZ baby mamas, and I got baby mama drama. They don't say that. They play games, and they, you know what I'm saying, want to be the man, and they want to still, I guess, act like they got it with even the bald spots in the middle of their head, on the back of their head. I don't know what's going on with some of these guys. But they are not truthful. Where women, I find out, we are more truthful. If a woman's a hoe, I've heard this at the club, I'm a hoe. She'll pretty much tell a guy, let's go, let's hook up, let's do our thing. It's no shame in my game, whatever, whatever. I get money, I just want you for your money, whatever. However her game is, you know what I'm saying? I can't knock her for her honesty. You know, I don't respect her and what she does, but at the same token, the women are more honest than men are nowadays. I mean, that's just what I'm seeing and hearing. Men are more like they want to still play the field, play the same game. And even married men, they're the biggest hoes in the world. I mean, I've seen this from experience. So you guys need to be more honest with us, and therefore you won't have crazy women stalking you, nor will you, you know, be breaking women's hearts if you upfront honest. If you tell a woman,
well,
look,
okay,
I'm a player, I'm not no good, well, that gives her the option of she want to deal with you or not.
Well, let me make an opinion on that, because it's actually, I look at it like, okay, well, if you could look at a girl, like a girl could look at a girl and notice if she's a hoe or not, basically, that's what you're saying. But you could also do that with a guy. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
All these guys bling bling in your ears. In your teeth, da da da. You know, come on.
I didn't say that. I said women are more honest. I said when I'm out in a club, this is what I said. I said when I'm out and I'm seeing and I'm observing in the club, women will tell men up front, this is what I want from this situation. This is what I want from you. Yes, I want to sleep with you tonight. No, I don't want to sleep with you tonight. Yes, I want your money. No, I don't need your money. I just want to do whatever with you. You know what I'm saying? No, I don't want to, you know, a relationship with you. Yes, I do. Where I said men, on the other hand, most men are not going to sit up there and say, yeah, I'm a hoe, I'm a playboy, I'm a this, I'm a that. They're going to be like, oh, well, yeah, I'm going to see how many women I can get, see how many numbers I can get, see how many people I can sleep with. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to play my game until I get caught. And even when y'all get caught, y'all still try to have that stupid running game and say something stupid like, oh, she's just my sister. That's my friend. You ain't catch me. If I caught you in another female's house or next to another female, you're busted, okay? Don't even try to play that role with me. But girls do that too. Women will lie all the way to the grave with that. And we think about it. That's the part. That's the rule. They take that stuff to the grave.
You know, and I know a lot of women that live by that rule. I know a lot of women. I have a lot of homegirls that, you know, they're with one guy, two guys, three guys, maybe four guys, and they're just as deceitful, and they won't be honest about whatever because it ruins their game. You know what I mean?
See,
Not every woman is honest. Everybody has a little bit of a playboy, and I think that most people at one point or another have had a phase where they're just like everywhere.
You're right,
crazy.
Dude. But here's my
Amen.
Thing. I've always been an honest woman, and my thing is, I feel like I'm too honest because it's like when you come real, it like scares people off. You know? So
yeah,
it's like,
and you,
like
you
even
become
with guys,
a B if you're real,
right? Right, because it's like they're
like
used
real
to,
girls.
You know, just to play, they're used to just you playing games. So it's like, okay, this is what I want, this is what I don't want, you know. And we as women, I mean, I don't know how old you are, but when you get in your 30s, like Tyler Perry, Madea said, you're not going to be telling, you know, foolishness that you did in your early 20s. It's going to be like, okay, this is what I want, this is what I'm not going to stand for, and this is what you're going to give me. If you can't give me these three things, then I don't even need to have a conversation with you. And
then
like
you
said, I mean, women play games. We do, too. I'm not going to sit up there and take up for us. We play games. We trifling, too. But the difference is a woman knows how to play her game, like, you know what I'm saying, like a good card game, okay? Men, we know they might switch up the game. They might shuffle the deck a little bit, but we know they're going to pull them same cards, ace, queen, king, jack, okay? Women, we're going to shuffle that deck. We're going to buy a whole brand new card. You know what I'm saying? We're going to make sure that deck is shuffled, right? We're going to spin it around, turn it around, flip it, you know what I'm saying? We're going to do our thing. We're going to put our magic touch on that, magic stick. And
games
we're not going to get
games.
Caught.
Games is games. Games is games. Okay, whatever.
Exactly.
You know, everybody, we're going to keep this thing moving. Because, see, this is why we call this really hot topic, okay? But look, we got to keep it moving. So, yeah, call in if you want to call in. It's 466-200-3136. If you want to comment on that topic right there, that's too hot for me to even comment on. But we're going to keep this thing moving with really hot topics. Also, we want to comment tonight on a drunk baby. Yeah, a drunk baby, people. So basically, a mom, you know what I'm saying, she went to a restaurant, you know, she took her baby, you know, her toddler at that, her little toddler, I think he was like, what, 2 or 3 years old, I believe, but the point is, she had ordered apple juice for him. Now, I don't know the exact restaurant it was in, it doesn't disclose the information in my research, but however, I know that there was in a restaurant, and she ordered apple juice for the baby, but instead of getting apple juice, the baby was served margarita bits, okay? So, the baby passed out, but the baby's okay, however, you know what I'm saying, but she was trying to figure out what was wrong with her baby, so, you know, she thought maybe it was sick, or, you know, because she's like, you know what I'm saying, basically, she's trying to wake him up, and he won't wake up, so she's trying to figure out what's wrong. She got the baby checked out, and the baby had 0.10 alcohol in his blood from margarita mix. The restaurant manager apologized, but come on now. You said apple juice and margarita mix. How do you get it mixed up?
Two words, a whooping. A whooping. That's what they need, a whooping.
Yeah.
Open up a lawsuit on that.
That too, but
also a whooping. Really, really sad. Really, really sad. But everybody, now we're going to take you to the hip hop of things with Rizzy Riz. What you got, Riz?
Yeah, so have you guys heard anything about Timberland canceling his tour in Australia?
No.
No. I didn't know he was out. You said Timberland?
Yeah, Timberland. He's actually touring global right now. But he canceled his tour in Australia, and it says allhiphop.com. You guys can go check it out. There was somebody from a major city, one of these people's friends, said Timbo didn't go to Superfest in Australia because he owes some people some money for the last time that he didn't show him. Yeah, and the Goon Squad was waiting for him. Yeah.
Wow.
The Goon Squad was waiting for him. What's wrong with these rappers? I mean, why is it like they all go bankrupt or something? Just like with the game, did y'all hear about his car got repossessed?
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I guess
game
he ain't
car,
on top no more. Hate it or love it.
No,
you get repo.
He's not. No. I'm pretty sure he hated he was ever with G Unit. I'm pretty sure he hated he was ever with
G-Unit. You know, ever since he got a G-Unit, you know what I'm saying? I mean, his career really has never been the same. And yeah, now he's getting you know, his car's repossessed. Now, in the report, it states that, you know, he really didn't care. But come on, now, that's an embarrassing thing.
His face is embarrassing. That's what's embarrassing.
Cars. Don't they buy their own car? I mean, how do you get your car repossessed? I mean, if I'm a rapper, I'm going to buy a fancy car. I'm going to pay cash or, you know, you went and financed and you got to take it? That's crazy.
Yeah, but his hit was a long time ago. I mean, like, that hit was, how long ago was that? How long ago was it since you last heard a song by the Game that was pumping?
I think it was
true.
Last hot single with him and Mary Hayden, Love It. That's been, seemed like three,
that's
4 years
like years.
Ago.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
I remember that, you know, that song with him and Kanye, You Wouldn't Get Far. I don't know how long ago that was, but yeah, he's been gone for a minute. So yeah, so I mean, so basically, these rappers, they're just
they don't know how to manage their money.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Even they have the wrong people managing their money for them, and they're stealing from them.
But do you guys remember about me telling you about there's a rumor Drake was getting dropped from Young Money?
What?
Oh, no.
Are you serious?
No.
Yeah, there was a rumor. Well, the answer's out. Drake actually addressed the mess by saying, and I quote, you see today when I landed in D.C. and got off of the plane, when this nigga looked at me in the eyes and said and asked me, did you drop out of Young Money? And I looked at him right back in his eyes and said, boy, are you out of your motherfucking mind? Oops, sorry. Man, I want this forever.
Radio edit.
Yeah, you remember that one. But
MF mine, that's what he meant to say.
Basically, what happened was is Drake and Weezy, they got into an argument with Baby and stuff, and I guess Drake walked out of the room, but dad, this rumor flared up. But he finally, you know, let it go and let everybody know that he's still on Young Money and he wants to be on it forever. So I was wondering what you guys thought about that. I mean, everybody's always talking about Drake, and, you know, like, what's this up with telling lies about him now? I don't get it.
I mean,
I want him to wax his eyebrows.
Well, one thing, like for
I
me,
want,
you know, there's a lot
I'm tired of seeing
strong.
Them big eyebrows.
Yeah, those eyebrows are kind of thick. But, you know, girls like it. Girls like it.
Girls
like it.
Eyebrows.
Y'all be shaming.
You look like Lurch from the Addams Family. No, he should be ashamed of himself with them thick eyebrows. That's what he should be ashamed of.
They are thick. For all that money, you can't get a squeeze.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's just crazy. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah,
I can hear you.
Okay.
I can hear you now.
Okay, y'all gotta let me know when I'm going in and out because my phone's crazy. Yeah, but I think it's crazy because, you know what I'm saying, like those type of posses or whatever, you know what I'm saying, they got all those people there. And, I mean, I think it would be, I mean, to me, I think Drake could do good on his own, you know what I'm saying, because I heard that I think Jay-Z had wanted Drake on his, what do you call it, not posse, but his... Yeah, Rockefeller or whatever, but Drake had turned him down, you know, because he said a Young Money forever. So I don't know, they're all crazy.
I think what Drake can do is if he's really looking to start producing on his own, he should go under somebody with Young Money. You know what I mean? You know, have another label. You know, because he sounds like he's dedicated, and he's kind of like me. You know, if I ever went with anybody in any type of contract, like with you guys, you know, somebody asked me to go work with them, I'm not going to drop you guys and just, you know, forget about, you know, what everything that has happened. So, I mean, I respect Drake for actually, you know, clearing that up and really putting the money on the table, telling it how it is.
That's what's up. That's cool. Well, everybody, also, we want to just go ahead at this moment and tell you about the Real Hot Fresh weekend that we had this weekend. Me, Rizzy Riz, and Miss Jewel, we was out on the town in New York City for our event. Now, exactly. Now, for those of y'all who don't know what's going on, well, we're actually throwing an A's Walk fundraiser event April 27th called Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh by Saying Yes to Safe Sex. Now, how many of y'all out there are saying yes to Safe Sex? Exactly. Well, you
yes,
know what I'm
yes.
saying? Well, now the truth is being told, so we're actually going to have a fundraiser. But however, we went out in Brooklyn. We started in Brooklyn, and it ended in Manhattan. And we ended up, you know, doubling our goal. Our goal, you know, like, we had a small goal. You know, our goal was like, actually, we didn't even have a goal, right, guys?
Yeah, we sure
we
did.
We didn't have a goal.
No, we didn't have a goal.
Yeah. Didn't have a goal, but then we made our goal to $100, and then we ended up doubling that goal. So, yeah, we did pretty good. So, like I said, April 27th is the place to be in New York City at the Sapphire Lounge. Rizzy, Rizzy, tell them what we're going to have, boy.
Oh, well, we're going to actually have a comedian. We have two live artists. Well, we got some raffles, some jewelry giveaways. There's going to be, Dramatic Fanatic's going to be there too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dramatic Fanatic. Stevie
Boy. Yeah,
he's
going to try to make it.
It's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be
absolutely.
So much fun. It's going to be so much fun because you're going to have Miss Jules there. And then y'all know wherever Miss Jules is, it's a party. You know what I'm saying?
You know it.
It
also,
is a
party.
Hey.
We are in the
okay.
house.
It's a party. Hey.
Also, we have performances by King DeBar and Oracle, you know, so it's only $5 to get in, guys, but, you know, all the proceeds go to the AIDS Walk Foundation, and, you know, it's really a good cause to help, you know, so many people are dying and have died with HIV and AIDS, so we really want to help support this, so definitely try to make it. If you are in the New York City area or surrounding area, April 27th is the place to be at the Sapphire Lounge from 7 to 10 p.m., the address is 249 Eldridge Street. That's between Houston and Staten Street. If you're in the city, you know to take the F train to Second Avenue. And for more information, just log on to our Facebook or MySpace, and you can see the actual flyer, and you can get all the information. And you can find us on Facebook and MySpace by typing in facebook.com/realhotfresh and myspace.com/realhotfresh. Fresh, and you'll get all the information. So I really hope that you all enjoyed this segment of Really Hot Topics, because we really bring it to you. But you know what? We don't stop the hot topics here. After the break, we'll take a look, you know what I'm saying, another little break, because we got to pay those bills, because if we don't, we shut down. But after the break, we got some more topics for you from that fresh off the plate, Miss Jules. This is Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh with Z-Fly. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Edie Falco with PETA. If he abuses your animal companion, you may be next. Research shows that people who abuse their pets are more likely to abuse women and children, too. So if a family member is abusing an animal, call the authorities immediately. Because the person who comes home and kicks the dog is probably just warming up. For more information, please visit helpinganimals.com.
All right, y'all, that's what's up. That was a message from Peter. And right now we got a message from Miss Jules, because she got the fresh off the plate. What is it this week, Miss Jules?
Hey, everybody, it's your hostess with the most. It's your girl, Miss Jules, with this weekly dose of juice fresh off the plate. So All-Star Hip Hop reports that there's been a Ciara sex tape and somebody that looks like 50 Cent. Same build, seems like same complexion, same facial, you know, thing going on. So they're selling the tape for $50,000. Mm-hmm. Okay, now the Jersey Shore is coming back for a fourth season. Jay Wow and Snooki are going to get their own reality show. Benny's going to be acting in some of MTV's upcoming series. And Pauly D's getting his own reality show. And check this out. Pauly D's touring with Britney Spears. And they're getting a raise, from what I hear. Now, on Wendy Williams, she reports that Louboutin admits that his shoes are for beauty, not comfort. So they're crazy expensive and just plain uncomfortable. And Louboutin is suing Yves Saint Laurent because he made a red bottom shoe, too. Mm-hmm. Now, Charlie Sheen, we're going to talk about Charlie Sheen. He's winning and he's losing at the same time. I mean, like, he bombed that Radio City Music Hall. But then again, his last show, he got, like, mixed reviews. So supposedly some people thought that it was actually entertaining. So he might be, you know, getting it back. And I don't know if I told you guys, but Betty White, ex-Golden Girl, is going to have a new reality show where the elderly prank the youngsters. And Betty White's in the news because she's been doing a little bit of Twitter warring with Lindsay Lohan. Betty White says she doesn't care for people like Lindsay Lohan and Charlie Sheen because they're ungrateful to have such great opportunity and just blow it. And then Lindsay Lohan went ahead and responded to her, and she says that she can't believe that a woman her age would be talking about her like that online. Shows you right. And oh my gosh, I don't know if you guys seen Wendy Williams tweet her feet. Oh my gosh, that man danced that woman till her feet bled. I mean, like, her feet were just so swollen, it was insane. Anyway, America's Best Dance Crew is back, and Tie Dyes, the King of Crump, is on TV. I mean, it's very interesting. I can't believe it. And Tia from American Idol is rumored to be coupled up with Mark Ballas from Dancing with the Stars. Oh, Tia. And Amber Rose was caught on camera in Barbados swimming and snorkeling, boobies out. And she has nipple rings. Mm-hmm. So, this is Miss Jules, and this is your week juicy dose of Fresh Off the Plate.
Ew. That's how you do it. That was Fresh Off the Plate. To everybody, tonight we are going to bring you a very interesting interview tonight from artistic director Karen Bernard. She's going to be telling us all about the 25th Anniversary Performance Miss Festival that she's promoting here in New York City and other places. But while we wait for her to call in, we're going to get back into some really hot topics. So now, before the break, Ashley, my bad. Looks like she's here. We want to welcome Karen Bernard to the show. Hey, Karen, how are you?
Can you hear me?
She hears. Yes, Karen, how are you doing?
Good.
Great. Thank you so much for calling in. Welcome to the show. And let's get this thing started.
Okay.
Hey, Karen.
Hello.
It's great to have you here. I was reading that you're a choreographer and a multi-discipline solo performance artist based here in New York. And it also says you've been studying dance since you're about 3 years old. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. My father was a dance teacher, and I studied with him.
Uh-huh.
After World War II, with the GI Bill and all, he was able to purchase a house that had a barn, and he made it into a dance studio.
Wow.
And so, you know, I've been dancing all my life, and I've been incorporating all the different styles of dance that I've studied and seen, popular movements and classic modern dance movements, and created work that is my own story and my own way of putting the structures of the movements together. And I've been doing that, and actually it's like an autobiographical experience.
Uh-huh.
That I hope also just touches a lot of different people, and they relate to it in their things in their own life.
That sounds amazing. So when you were growing up, what was it like having your father's dance school and all these fabulous people in and out of your house and, like, basically living your dream? Like, how do you feel about that?
Well, I was so used to it. It was just, like, part of it. And I was proud, you know, to have this father that everyone looked up to and thought was very glamorous, you know. And my mother would make the costumes every year for the recitals. And throughout our house, we'd have sequins and netting. You know, that happened once a year. And they've been just, well, my father did die, but
they were
always so supportive of my interest in dance. And my way, the way my dance progressed creatively, and also my interest in visual art really informed it too, because I've also worked with text and props and found objects and video, of late a lot of video, But my father understood it and really let me have this, you know, free supportive reign of where what I thought dance was and you know, just changing things as I went.
Okay, so like, what was like the biggest piece that your father gave to you, you know, growing up with being able to have this type of lifestyle?
Well, I saw that he was able to function as, you know, make a living at it, although it was very difficult. And I have to say that I've not really, you know, it's very hard going to make a living as a dance artist, as a soloist particularly. And that's why I created a whole community for myself to help that be more wholly realized. But I think it's just, you know, the father-daughter thing. It's he was so inspiring to me. And he's often, like, in my work like a ghost. Like, just as a longing.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, very much so.
He's like your best friend.
Yeah, and, you know, I've raised a family of three children, twins and an older daughter, boy and girl twin. And my husband's a visual artist. And we have a loft down here in Tribeca, which we've had for 35 years. We really came in at the very beginning where we thought that Tribeca was the end of the planet. And we create, really, it's changed. And we have a studio. And I'm just used to it. I have a studio. Dancers come in and work here. And but like going back to this idea of father-daughter, now no one's become a performer or dancer. I don't push it because I know it's a difficult route. But my oldest really fell for visual art and is following in her steps of her father. So there must be a very strong pull, you know.
That sounds great. So is there any places that, like, any websites that we could check you out on or anything like that?
Sure. It's newdancealliance.org.
Okay. All right.
Very
and that's
cool.
Where you would find all the information. Well, it's, you can see video of my work and so forth, but also that's where you can find the schedule for our Performance Mix Festival, and you can even see interviews of artists and listen to them, and we've taken videos of interviews, and we really want people to get familiar with the different artists that we are presenting.
Yes.
Okay, that's
cool. Actually, that's exactly what I want to talk about. But I do want to let everybody know that if you do want to call in and ask Karen any questions or comments or whatever, it's 646-200-3136. And so, Karen, so let's talk about this 25th anniversary Performance Mix Festival. Now, before we actually get into the heart of it, I'm actually intrigued by the theme of it because I love the way, you know, you seem to bring this union together through past, present, and future, you know, through dance, song, and music. So how exactly did the theme, you know, come about for it?
Well, you know, at the very beginning when I moved here and I had, you know, the studio, I started to have some small like salon performances, but really, because it's residential, we couldn't continue to have the public come in. And so when I coined it, Performance Mix, because I always was interested in various multimedia approaches to performance. And we did it at Henry Street Settlement. That was our first performance. And then I had read about an organization called Dia Center for the Arts and approach them. And for several years, we would continue to show the mix there. But what happened is the Joyce Theater Foundation bought that building, so now it's Joyce Soho. But we've mostly tried to have a center home, but we are actually performing it, presenting it at a different place this year called Dixon Place.
Okay.
And Dixon Place is kind of a phenomena because this woman always lived in her kind of loft space. She would have like this postage stamp studio theater. And now, though, it's in a proper great space on the Bowery, Christie Street. And it's very open to curatorial decisions. Like the work is really wide. And as you say, there's dance, music, video. Because I always feel that even if it's a a combined effort of, you know, medias in one performance. I also like to see it alone, like music alone, video, dance for video alone, because it, they're always connected, and artists get to see other artists and audiences. You know, there's a connection, and other kinds of collaborations can occur. So I'm always trying
right.
to stir up the pot.
You know, I noticed that because I noticed that there are so many different cultures, you know, in the festival, such as artists, you know, from Montreal and Bulgaria. So it's kind of interesting, but does it affect or maybe affect, you know, working with international artists, you know, as far as maybe the language barriers or anything like that? I mean, is it kind of, you know, difficult to work with international artists or, you know, is it pretty easy?
So far, I haven't had a problem with it, and I guess they're also drawn to us if they actually can speak English. Also,
mm-hmm.
we're very chauvinistic in that we mostly, most of us only have one language, which is English here. And
mm-hmm.
but in other countries, they often are going to school to, and learning English as well. And, of course, in Montreal, you have both. So
yeah.
there's never been, you know, a hardship, really, in communication. Which has been great.
Exactly. And then seeing that this is the 25th anniversary performance, Mitz Festival, you know, obviously there's been 24 others. So, you know, so from coming from an artistic person like you, you know, would a person who comes to see your show, you know, would they need to have an artistic mind or at least appreciate art, you know, to enjoy the performance?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to think of it as an in-house joke, you know, kind of thing that is just showing to the people who understand it. I mean, there is a history involved, and it can be appreciated by knowing historically where the different styles and so forth come from, and it's interesting to know that. But I hope on face value that people can come, and when something is good art, they relate to it, whether they have to sit there and be intellectual about it, no matter. I don't
Definitely.
Think you have to sit and figure it out. Like, I feel like
yeah.
people should just take what they get from it. And if it's a little different from what the artist wanted, I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting to know
Definitely.
What other people's interpretations are.
You're for sure right.
Absolutely. So, Karen, what is interdisciplinary performance art? Can you elaborate on this for our listeners that are not familiar with the term?
Well, it's, let's say, you know, you're doing movement, but you're also speaking text. As well, you might be having a video, which is part of the environment. Sometimes, actually, dance can affect, they have interactive video where the movement affects the video. And there's all kinds of technology out there now.
Okay.
So that's what I would say would be multimedia and interdisciplinary. As a matter of fact, we have one piece of, actually it's a video from South Africa. Kai Loskot is working with a poet and a dancer. So in a way, that is a great mash of interdisciplinary work because you have film, a dancer, and you have a poet.
All right. So how do we get... how do we get to the venue? So how many elements of the 25th anniversary performance mix festival are going to knock our socks off, and how do we acquire tickets?
Well, you can go online to dixonplace.org, and that's DIXONPLACE, and you can purchase tickets right online.
All right.
There's so each one I'm so excited about. The opening night is always very exciting, and we have a group called 50 Collective. That's over 10 dancers who are coming from different global communities. They work ad hoc. Like, if they're going to perform in Europe, they find out who can join us for this performance. It came out of a workshop with a Latin American choreographer, David Zambrano, workshop. And they just took off with this, and they call it 50 passes. And wherever they are, like they might, if like say they're in Slovenia, in Ljubljana, they'll say 50 passes in Ljubljana. So here is 50 passes in New York. And they're going to be touring, actually, the United States. This is their first stop.
Wow.
Then, yeah. And on April 27th, Cahill Minear from Philadelphia will be doing a tap dance, which is also talking at the same time about his upbringing and where he's going. It's just really moving.
That's some time.
But
wow, that's
I can't
fantastic.
Really tell you everything that's on each program. They're all so wonderful, but we have enough time.
Okay.
That film I just told you about will be happening Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Isabel Lewis, who's a wonderful performance artist, is actually she's in New York. She considers herself a New York-based artist, but she's been living in Brussels, and she's coming over from Brussels to do this. We'll have some dialogue Friday morning with the Balkan artists and the ones from Montreal who are part of our exchange. One of the artists that's coming, Ivo Dimchev, is really a superstar. He's just amazing physical theater performer. And he was here recently at La Mama, got wonderful reviews, and is coming back to do another piece completely,
wow.
A 15-minute piece. So we're really excited about that. And then for our exchange on April 30th with Studio 303 in Montreal, this program is mirrored in Montreal. The exact same program will happen in Montreal as well. And we have a host, one from Montreal and one from New York City. From New York City, we have Zero Boy, who's absolutely a riot. And then one of our artists, Monster Black, who is very theatrical and has amazing voice, will be performing. And then we go on to our Sunday performance, which is our final night celebration, where we have brought together 25 of our artists that have performed with us through the years. And they'll be doing 3 minutes of work to one composer. It's been commissioned. Each person has their unique music. And it should flow nicely into a tapas and dancing party with DJ Winslow T. Porter, the third.
That's fantastic. Now that's fantastic. That sounds like so much fun. Now, what about this free event with Chris Dupuy? It's time to talk about future together.
Yes, of course. Yes, he's from Toronto. I met him at another festival, actually, that I was performing in, at Bad Times Theater. And he proposed this to me that what he does is he sets up a table in the lobby and he invites an audience member to sit with him as if it's their first date. And they begin to talk about really kind of everyday things. What have you been doing today? What do you do, you know, for work? But it slowly becomes like talking about global questions, major questions. So it's interesting to see how the piece unfolds, and it's very much interactive with the audience.
Yes,
that
it is. That's
really
fantastic.
Awesome.
And that's going to be at Dixon Place.
Yeah,
and
it will be in
the
lobby as people come in for the – it starts at 7, and the main stage show starts at 7:30.
All right, and then also the fabulous breakfast mix is going to be at Dixon Place as well.
Oh, yes, and that's free and delicious.
Oh, and it requires it also is breakfast too, right?
What?
Is there breakfast too as well?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Coffee and fruit and bagels and everything. And then I always love to, well, it's my downfall, to have everything with food and drink.
That's fantastic.
But, after the show, like for the reception, we have, wine and cheese and so forth. But here we'll have breakfast. There will be a panel discussion on, the strategies for exchange and how, one of the things, I don't know if this will come up, but the whole visa situation is just beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
And to get a visa for an artist who is just coming in for a specific,
mm-hmm.
Performance, not a job for the year,
Oh, that must be very difficult.
Coming to share their creativeness and just, it's just a wonderful thing. They put you through so much. you know, to get a vehicle for a person.
Wow.
So these things, I think it's good to talk about. And then there will be a test run of Victoria Ilyaska's I Am Always Watching You, which turns the tables on the artist and makes the audience the objective rather than the performers the objective.
That's fantastic.
She's a very young choreographer.
Really?
She's only 20 years old.
Wow.
And I'm bringing her to do a residency here, work with New York artists to recreate the piece over the week, and then show it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, how do we acquire tickets for everything?
Again, you just go to the website for Dixon Place. So it's dixonplace.org.
All right. Thank you. That's fantastic.
Karen, we wanted to know, other than this event, what other upcoming events that you have going on in the near future?
Well, this is our main event that we promote, which does actually take a year to develop. But at the same time, we're giving artists a free rehearsal space to work throughout the year in development of the work. We actually also had a senior program this year, which we invited some mix artists to do, show some work to the senior community. And actually the next one is in May, but I don't have the date off the top of my head. But I also will be performing and spending some attention to myself after the festival. I will be performing in Portland, Oregon on May 20th and 21st at Performance Works Northwest. So that's what will be coming up for me. And then we reevaluate the festival. We start again with applications, by the way. Our application is available online and now, and is due June 1st. That's on the newdancealliance.org website.
Well, Karen, we definitely are almost out of time, but we thank you so much for the information. Everybody,
sure.
You do not want to miss the 25th anniversary Performance Mix Festival. That is coming to hopefully a city near you. If not, check it out in New York City Tuesday, April 26th through Sunday, May 1st. That's at Dixon Place, 161A Christie Street. The tickets are available at www.dixonplace.org. Karen, are there any more information you want to say?
Well, no, but certainly if they want to also go to our website, again, newdancealliance.org, you can see the whole schedule there. You can see biographies on the artists. You can listen to interviews that the artists have given. It's all there on our website.
All right, and that is Karen Bernard, everybody, Artistic Director of the New Dance Alliance. Thank you so much, Karen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
Everybody, that's how you keep it real hot and fresh for Monday. We are completely out of time. So no ghettos tonight, but hey, y'all already know y'all are ghetto. However, we will have ghettos for you next week. But real quick, what we are going to do is, one more time, remember, if you are in the New York City area, April 27th, be sure to come to our AIDS Walk fundraiser event, which is keeping it raw and fresh by saying yes to safe sex at the Sapphire Lounge from 7 to 10 p.m. between Houston and Staten Street. Take the L train to 2nd Avenue, and also be sure to check out Facebook and MySpace / Real Hot Fresh for more information. I'm Z-Fly along with my crew, and we is out of here. All right, real quick, Shawano, why should you be the next host? Real quick.
Because I'm hot and I keep it real.
All right, everybody, that's it. We are out of here until next week. Peace.
Peace.